to be one of those creatives who genuinely has groundbreaking new ideas that you've never seen anywhere else. That's almost impossible. Like everything in some way is inspired by something, whether it's the movies that I've seen or the music I've listened to, that all feeds into our brain.
Hello and welcome to our listeners. I'm honored to welcome Lorraine Isabel, a creative director. She has a background in graphic design, photography, directing, editing, marketing, and styling. And just earlier this year, she co-created a collective of young Swiss creators called Studio Sync. The collective merges art with fashion to showcase Switzerland's distinctive artistic voice while creating a new space for the next generation. We're going to talk about her life, where she's from, where she grew up and where she studied and why she's in Bern, Switzerland, her inspiration and of course her collective and what it means for her and me to be creative. Hello, Lauren. So how are you? Where are you? And tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm good, thank you. I'm currently in Bern, Switzerland at home with my cats. So if you hear any weird noises, that's them.
Okay.
How are you?
Very, very good. I'm in Newport Beach in California, but I've been to Bern.
Oh, wow.
A lot.
Oh, you've really been to Bern? No one goes to Bern.
No, I've been tons to Bern. One of my closest friends and probably one of the most creative people I've ever seen in my life, Sebastian, German guy from my hometown, sort of. He moved to Bern and he's running like quite a creative studio. So I'm aware that Bern is quite a creative city, I would say. One of my closest cycling friends, Fabian Cancellara, he's a very good cyclist from Switzerland. And so I spent some time in Bern just like 5 weeks ago and
had to cycle
to Andermatt, and it was horrible because it's a lot of mountains and it's a lot of going up and down.
Yeah.
But I did spend a fair amount in the Aare, which is like one of the best things you can
do in the world.
Yeah. So
That's so funny though. I never really meet people who know Bern. They're always like, oh yeah, Zurich, Geneva, but Bern, what? I'm like, yeah, it's the capital of Switzerland. Chin's right now.
So I want to find out what you do and how you work over there. I do follow you on Instagram and it's very inspiring to see your work over there.
Thank you.
So you are, what's your nationality? You're Swiss.
My dad's Swiss, but my mom's English.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you grow up in Bern or where did you grow up?
I was actually born in Bern and grew up in Bern. But I always knew I wanted to go to England for an amount of my life because I've always just felt like, so it's my first language. I always felt really at home every time we went to visit family there. And then I ended up moving there when I was 21 to go and study.
Okay.
And I had like all of my life set out to stay in England, but then COVID happened and I had to come back to Switzerland. So I'm back now.
And are you happy about that? Or
do you know what? I think for me, it was a blessing in disguise. I feel like at the time I was so upset about it and I was like, oh, all my plans, they're just not working out. But now where I am now and what I'm doing now, I feel like it was, everything happened for a reason. I was meant to come back. I was meant to stay here and I was meant to invest into the creative industry in Switzerland and not leave. And it's given me the opportunity to build a career for myself here, to meet loads of people. And honestly, I don't see myself moving away anymore now.
I don't think you need long-term plans. That's the other thing. You know, like you seem like a person, at least on Instagram, that's highly successful right now in the moment and also open to whatever has been thrown to that person in the last couple of weeks. So what did you study?
So I studied a thing called fashion graphics.
Oh, okay. Where?
It was in Southampton. I wanted to study in London, but it was a bit too expensive to live in London. So I looked around for other universities and Southampton Solent had this course called fashion graphics. And it was basically just a course that like did so much stuff. So I had like graphic design, I had trend forecasting, I had photography, I had pattern design. Like there was so much stuff. There was so much going on in this course that I found interesting. And because I just didn't see myself studying one niche topic, that's why I chose to do this and have like a pretty broad education. And I really loved university. I had a really great time.
But it is kind of a creative way already. So like so you went a creative way at least at the age of 20. Did that start earlier, the whole creative person, the whole creative Lauren?
Yeah, oh definitely. Like honestly, there was never a different option for me. And even at school, I struggled because I wouldn't say I wasn't like academically gifted. I excelled at things that I was interested in. So art or history or literature, that's where I was good at it. But maths and physics, I was absolutely terrible. And that was in Switzerland, especially, there's like a high level of education and there's a lot of expectation for you to meet these levels. And I wasn't meeting them for the longest time because I couldn't like find any interest for these topics that I found really boring. And so I knew I wanted to do something creative. I just didn't know what it was. And during university, having that time to kind of experiment with all different kind of areas of creativity helped me really narrow it down to what I feel like I'm good at and what I wanted to pursue.
Sounds like a good path. What would you, if I meet you today and I say, what is it you do? What would you say?
This is always really difficult to explain to people maybe who aren't from the creative industry. But if obviously you're someone who knows, I would say, you know, I'm a creative director, I'm a photographer, a stylist. I work with different artists and brands to create campaigns or visuals. And I've been doing this for the last 3 years now. And I think when I speak to other people outside of the industry, I usually also just say marketing because they're like, oh, yeah, marketing. Yeah, I understand.
I mean, that's a problem. You have to sort of use old expressions that's been there 20 years ago. Like a stylist just did clothing or accessories at photo shoots or TV commercials or something. You're doing a lot of, you're creating at the end.
Exactly,
you're creative. Yeah. That's probably the creative director is a good word. And is Bern a good place for that?
Do you know what? I would have always said no, and I still feel like it's definitely not the epicenter of fashion and creativity, but I feel like Switzerland as a whole has in recent years become an interesting place to work. You know, through social media, we're more connected than ever with everything else happening around the world and in Europe, and there are so many talented individuals here. And through social media, we're connecting with each other, we're connecting with people in Europe, and I don't know, it feels exciting right now to be in Switzerland. There's a lot of young brands just starting out, like new creatives. Suddenly people are realizing it is possible to pursue this career here. You don't have to be a lawyer or a dentist or something traditionally Swiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear. Like I listened to a podcast with Rick Rubin, which is just a very, for me, inspiring person, and talking about creating, and one of probably the most creative people I ever came along or get to know, and he constantly talks about how to create, and I think a new kind of generation is coming up that's creating very, very different, and I see you as part of that generation because, to be fair, I'm not a creative. I look like a creative person out there, but I'm definitely not. And I'm the opposite of what you just said in school time as well, because I was good at math.
Yeah.
I still am fascinated by Excel sheets and spreadsheets. And so like I'm probably, and I was always a better business person as a photographer than in there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed by people who can create out of nothing. And that's something I, in my career of, which had probably a couple of similar projects, I would say, as you do, but I only could document. So I could not create new sceneries. And that's something you truly do. What happens if you close your eyes? Like, can you imagine the stuff that is coming up?
Definitely. And mostly that's how my creative process really works as well. Like there's not one way it happens, but say I'm working with an artist on like a music video or something, you know, I'll listen to the song again and again, and then suddenly there's just an image right in front of me. And then that's where you go from. There's it genuinely, like, it's there in your mind.
That's crazy. Okay. where could you nail down where it's coming from? Like, is there, could you, because I myself, and I don't want to, like, that's just opposite positions in here. And that's what I at least think is a little bit interesting. I mainly copy. So I can tell you each and every picture or video I did, I can tell you that's the inspiration. Like, that's the blueprint of it. I remix, maybe, if you want to say it a little bit more positive. There might be some people out there who say, no, he didn't copy, he created. But I myself don't see myself as a creator. I see myself as a remix person, which has to do with not being creative. Do you do that as well? Like, could you name down inspiration behind project, for example, 100%. For that musician that asked you to do a music video or whatever
it is? Yeah, of course. No, 100%. There's, like, I think to be one of those creatives who genuinely has groundbreaking new ideas that you've never seen anywhere else, that's almost impossible. Like, everything in some way is inspired by something, whether it's the movies that I've seen or the music I've listened to or the other artists I follow online. That all feeds into our brain and into our creativity. And so it's always, you're always referencing someone else. And I think that's what's interesting. And I think a talent is also to reference someone else and to be inspired, but to still make it your own.
Okay. And are you thinking about, like, in the creative process, are you thinking about the recipient? So are you, like, are you following, okay, this is something that people will like, or are you simply thinking about, because I met a couple of fair amount of people who I think were very creative, and one thing they all had in common was they didn't listen to the audience. They created for themselves, maybe for the musician in this example who calls you, and then that's the thing, like, their goal is they're sitting together in a room and both of the, maybe the singer and the videographer or whatever you say to this, and they like whatever they created, and that's it. So it doesn't matter if the audience likes it, it doesn't matter if 2.7 million people saw it on TikTok and it went viral, because you can't, like, and Rick Rubin, once again referring to him, he compares it very much to taste. You know, because, like, in taste, we are super, like, if we eat food, we are super clear. We say we like it or we don't like it. And that's it. Nobody questions. If you tell me you don't like avocado, I'm gonna not trying to convince you, like, it's a great food. I really like it. I accept that you don't like it. And we are very different in that if it comes to other media and content, like films or music or clothing or creative campaigns or something. Like, everybody has an opinion. There's a lot of talks about it. There's a lot of, and like, how do you feel about that?
I think, I feel like I understand, like, the aspect of creating for other people as well, mainly because I was in marketing for so long as well. Like, when a brand approaches you or someone, like, you're always thinking of how is it going to be received by the audience? Like, it's an unavoidable thought, especially when I've worked with, you know, companies. There is always the aspect of we're either selling something or the audience should feel some kind of way. So that does come into a lot of the work that I do. But that's why I think sometimes having these, we call them, you know, like, passion projects is so nice, because then you're really limitless and you just get to create just for yourself and whoever you're working with. And those are some of the things that, you know, you then have a really fond attachment to for a long time, because it was just for you and for no one else. And those are things that you're then surprised about if someone else likes it, right? You're like, oh, okay, this resonated with more than two people.
Another thing I want to touch base on, because you do work in, I would say, maybe a creative syndicate. I've talked me a little bit through Studio Sync and how it started and what it is and what you draw off, like, energy-wise.
So it's a very new part of my life. We only just started it a few months ago. Like, we would been talking for a couple of years now. So we're five people, and one of the people involved is a person I've worked with for many years. I've known her for over 10 years, and we've worked together for probably half of that, just always collaborating. Really, the whole idea of me sharing my ideas with her, wanting her feedback, and building these kind of visions together. And then two of the people are people I've worked with a lot in the last year and very closely, and we instantly, our workflows just, it synced. Like, we were just, like, perfect for each other. Where I'm bad, they're better, and the other way around. And I think kind of what is really great about teamwork is kind of recognizing your own weaknesses and finding people that have those strengths, and the other way around. Because I feel like what makes us so cool or special, what makes any team good, is really, like, everyone's convinced, everyone's like confident in what they do, but we also aren't in a position where we say we can do everything by ourselves. I really do believe that like a good team will always make my work better, because there are just certain aspects of a campaign or of a video that I can't do myself. And so I'd rather hire the best people in that area to work with me and for us to create something together than try and do it alone and fail. And since like the beginning of my creative process, I've always enjoyed collaborating. And obviously there's been some collaborations that haven't worked, and then you just never work with those people again and you close that chapter. But with the team I'm with now, it's really, we don't struggle like that. We really just, the energies just match, and the way we create really just really matches and kind of, yeah, helps each other.
You said you're five people, mm-hmm. so one very close old one, two yeah. new ones. Who's yeah. the fourth? Just the fourth to not miss
is,
him out.
Yeah, no, her. The fourth person is someone who is very close with the other person who's in our team. And I've only ever gotten to work with him on a few projects, but I've always just worked so well with him as well. And this project now with IWC was just another great example of why he needs to be in the team too. Like us five, I don't know, we just all have different skills. We have like someone who's very focused on graphic design, someone who comes more from a production background and who's also very strong with photography, director and writer, someone who's more in the art direction, and then I do creative direction and styling. Like we just balance. It's a good balance of all different creative outputs.
It almost sounds a little bit like a small power agency. Mm-hmm. Are you working for clients directly, and do you need that too? Because that's something that's super important to me too. Like I'm not working for agencies at the end. Mm-hmm. Like I need the client conversation. I need yeah. the contact to the client. I need to understand what they want. And I can't work with a translator who tries to tell me what somebody else maybe might mm-hmm. think. How is that in your position? Like, are you working for agencies, or are you mainly working for clients who hire you as a syndicate to get all, like it's a bucket full of flowers that work.
Exactly.
For that.
No, I think as a collective, we definitely prefer working directly with a client, just because we are already quite a big team. We don't need to go through an agency. I prefer to be in direct contact. Otherwise, things can get lost in translation, and it's just a different kind of process. But when I work individually still, which I do a lot of the time, is I don't mind going through an agency if it's an agency I've worked with a lot, if I trust them and it's just me. But when it's me and my team, I feel like there's so many opinions that need to be heard, and there's just a different kind of workflow.
Okay, and walk me through it if somebody hires you, for example, at the IWC project. Yeah. So they mm-hmm. contact you, you kind of get along, which is mm-hmm. probably a very important part of
definitely.
The creative process, that you meet the people in person and realize, yeah. okay, we're clicking or we're not, because especially in creative worlds, it's impossible to work with somebody who doesn't like you or you.
Oh, that's
don't
already
like him, right?
That's already yeah. like a if I don't like someone, like if I can't, if the I don't know, if it just feels off, I can't see a project through to the end with someone. Like I won't even engage in a further conversation, and that's just because I've had experiences where I've had to work alongside people or for people that we didn't have the same vision and we didn't have the same way of working or even speaking to each other. Then with IWC in general, it just felt very easy, very natural from the beginning. There was a mutual respect and appreciation, and I think it was easy to build on that.
Trust me, we have my chief of staff, mm-hmm. a female, Sina, and I, we work very close together in my team, and we have a secret it's called the list of chauvinistic people. So that's mm-hmm. what they all have in common.
Yeah.
You can't work creative with chauvinist people. Mm-hmm. But coming back to IWC, mm-hmm. then they approach you with a product, with yeah. a concept, with a watch, with a launch, with a like why did they hire you at the end? Like,
so yeah, the idea for them was that they really also wanted to try something new. Like what we've done with them now is really different to what they've done in the past. You know, there was a so many young people on this project, and it was really open to us to reinterpret IWC in a way that we wanted, and that was so cool that they trusted us like that to kind of just, what would you create if you could? We have these watches. We also didn't know which watches we were going to be working with until closer to the shoot. So we just started creating a campaign based around more the personality of these individual models. It wasn't just we wanted to cast models that looked great. We also wanted them to have a kind of backstory and also be in the creative field. It was very important to me that everyone who worked on this project on set was also local young creatives, to really have that, just for it to be authentic. And then we kind of went to the drawing board as a team, as like us five from Sync, and we came up with all different concepts and set designs and how it could flow. And then obviously there was the video where I speak more about myself and what that could look like, sent it in. Then they had adjustments, so we made adjustments, and back and forth kind of like that until the actual day of the shoot. And on the day of the shoot, I think there were three people from IWC with us. And they were just there to, you know, support and to make sure that everything on the day was looking as they would like it to look. But yeah, even there, the energy was right. It was really, really intense, productive day. And I think they're happy with the output. I'm really happy with how it turned out. So yeah.
I like it a lot. I've seen some stuff of it. But at the end, what is the final result? There's pictures? Mm-hmm. There's a video, correct?
Exactly. There's three videos, editorials, of three Swiss-based creatives who are also really amazing individuals. And they speak just a little bit about what drives them creatively. And they're all in very different set designs. We really matched the set design to the watches, as well as the styling and the people. So each little video editorial stands as its own work of art, so to say. And then there's also pictures from all of those. And then there's a fourth video about myself and about Sync, where I kind of introduce myself and just speak about where I'm at and where we're moving with our collective at the moment. What I like is how brands and how different creative projects bring people together, and kind of how we can all relate to each other and how we all create together. And for IWC to be the platform for that and to allow us to do that was really cool.
And I do think it's deep in the IWC DNA that they are creators. They have been always, and like their kind of inner circle family is the true definition of creation all by itself. So they really want to be the enabler of those stories to be told. And I kind of like how they sometimes step back with their product, you know, and and it's not like, hey, this is a watch, it can do these bam 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 things, and it's gonna so like the it's just there, and it's part of a common kind of creative little thing, which I think it's very, very strong. Out of
it doesn't need to be it doesn't need to be loud, it doesn't need to be in your face. It's there, it's beautiful, we can all appreciate it. And it's what story do they want to tell this time? And it was so fun being part of that story.
What other projects does the collective have, and how do you work on those? Like, tell me a little bit more about your work outside of IWC.
So in the last couple of years, we've also worked a lot with Lacoste, Nike, Asics. We work a lot with Swiss musicians, artists, like rappers, singers, everything. And for the brands, obviously, a lot of the time we create like, you know, campaigns, visuals, but also I created a lot of events. So we did like a lot of really big, really cool, fun events in Switzerland, also based on like bringing other creatives together and having it, you know, sponsored by different brands. Or the work we do with our collective a lot of the time is, you know, music video based and creating for other creatives, basically.
And what's been the best project so far?
Oh my God. Okay, so
it's hard to name it.
That is really hard, but I think...
What's one you like?
Okay, I like a lot of the ones I've got to work on, but I think for me, one of the most emotional ones, and that kind of every time I watch a recap video of it, I can't believe that I kind of did that and was involved with that. But in March this year, we hosted a Air Max Day. So every March, the Nike hosts an Air Max Day worldwide. And me and my team, we hosted one in Zurich, Switzerland. And we put on an exhibition featuring over 20 Swiss artists from all around Switzerland. So from the French part, the Italian part, the German part, everyone. There were so many different photographers, 3D designers, videographers, sculptures, fashion, like there was everything there under one roof, and over 400 people came, and it felt like the creative scene was alive and well in Switzerland. And it was incredibly special, incredibly stressful to put together, because I've never curated an exhibition or hosted an event that size, but it was definitely, it was definitely very special.
And you're proud of that, right?
So proud
Because
of
you should
it.
be. Yeah. That's very good. And what's coming up in the future? Like, what other projects are you guys working on? Who's lined up? Can you tell me a little bit about your daily kind of thing?
Yeah, so at the moment we've got a few Swiss artists that we're working with. We've kind of, been sent the songs that they would like to have music videos for. I always like working with local rappers or artists in general because it's a really fun output and we've got some really great talent and we love kind of creating visuals for that. Then we've also been approached by some other jewelry companies, maybe to do like their spring campaign, which we're already going to start planning now. And then we're also looking at hosting our first event in Berlin next year.
Oh, nice.
That I can't say who for yet, but that will hopefully be a big deal.
And is it kind of similar to like, so I'm very impressed that you do curate art exhibitions, sort of. Like, it's the new way of doing that, which is like, it's very interesting to find out over what you say. You're perfectly explaining what a creative director does. So that's very, very, very good. But is that something you want to shift towards, or what, like, if there's a white paper, like nothing is on there, what would you, blank slate, what would you do there? Like, if I want to work with you, what would you prefer to do?
I mean, I love creating visuals, like be it for like someone's fashion collection. I love creating lookbooks and editorials. That's like an output that I really enjoy and I feel very comfortable in working in that space. But something that brings me a lot of fulfillment is like kind of community-based events and it's, kind of creating spaces for other artists and facilitating, spaces where they can display their work or where we can come together and we can network and we can meet each other and that's the kind of environment that I like creating and that I hopefully have more opportunity in future to create.
We have a couple of young listeners too. Like, do you do internships? Do you do, like, can somebody come around for a day and just hang with singers? There a place where I might do
That would be
that.
so cool. No, I've actually done like I've worked in different places or in different creative settings, and I've always done like 1 to 2, 3 days where I've allowed younger people to come and be a part of it because I've always said when I was younger, so when I was like 16, 17 or younger, that would have meant the absolute world to me being able to accompany someone who is a full-time creative just to realize that it is possible, it is a career. And I even went back to like my old school where I used to go to and I had a little talk about it that if anyone wanted to come and see what I was doing, they'd be more than welcome because I think it's so important to reach out to younger creatives and make them feel appreciated and make them feel like they have a place here,
Absolutely. What's different to what you would have expected the work is? Because I'm giving you one thing from my side, and that's a very like, one thing in common is like the showing up, being on time, working hard, ethic, which is a, like, all that struggle, whatever. I'm aware that this is not like I sleep when I die type of thing is totally stupid. We all are now aware that we should take care of ourselves, but it's a lot of work, I have to
It
admit.
is.
At least my career was a lot of work. How is that out of your perspective, if you think back of your 20 years ago type of person? Like, did you would you have thought that your life is like it is right now, or is that
No.
something? What would you give your?
I'm beyond grateful for what my life is right now, and I think I get very emotional. I was very emotional on the at the IWC shoot and interview as well because I'm genuinely so happy with what I'm doing, and I love my job. I love getting up and I love going to work. Even if I'm working 7 days a week, it fulfills me so much. But like you said, it is important to realize that taking care of yourself means that you can work more. I kind of had to teach myself that, and I think the only thing that I can learn is to like improve on, I would say, is to have those days off where I really don't work, to go on holiday, to take actual breaks, because when you're self-employed or when you're doing what you love, the lines between working and time off become so blurred. You're basically always working. You're always meeting up with people who are in the same industry. You're always kind of having these talks, or you're always gathering inspiration, and you're always just answering a quick email or a DM. So actually switching off is is very important, and I'm still on a journey to learn that.
I'm switching off with my family, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I have three children. Mm-hmm. Oldest has turned 17 yesterday. And that's exactly one of the most important parts, because I absolutely agree with what you just said. Like, work sort of never stops.
Yeah.
And I still remember 10 years ago, 12 years ago, there was a moment where it switched from, like, my perspective. Like, I consumed a lot of Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Mm-hmm. And at one point, it switched to work. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, my addiction, which I clearly knew before that was bad for me, turned into, but that's now my job. So I'm not questioning it anymore.
Yeah.
But I still had that island of family, and I'm trying to use my phone, not really around them. There's no picture of my wife and my kids. And I have this small little thing where I'm not sharing anything about it, because I'm also very much of an oversharer.
Yeah.
That did help my mental health.
I 100% agree with that. I'm also very close with my family. That's the reason I've chosen to stay in Bern, is because my family's here. And it's definitely, I have two younger brothers. I'm very close with both my parents. And that's a reason for me to always kind of switch off. And my mum's the first person who will be like, put your phone away, like, just don't work for 5 minutes. And that's really where I feel the most at home and comfortable and at ease, for sure. Like, having my family around through, like, all the craziness that's happened lately and in the last couple of years has definitely got me through everything.
Absolutely. You know what what helped me too, very much, was moving to the United States, because my work is still in Europe. Mm-hmm. And the time difference kind of there's a lot of stuff that solves itself while I'm sleeping, and then there's a lot of stuff that can't be solved because everybody else is sleeping, you know? So and I didn't plan that. I'm not a genius who had that blueprinted out, but it did help me realizing it's not that important sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to switch off. Okay, last question, and then we have to wrap this up. And I'm asking this everybody, like, if you have some extra time on your day, or an extra day in the week, or an extra week in the month, that you can assign just one simple task to it, what would that be? Like, what would you use an extra hour every day if you had that?
Oh my God. Because I always feel like I don't have enough hours in the day. You know, I always
Everybody
feel like it,
does.
It literally just flies by. I think I would probably use it to cook more and to maybe work out, honestly. Like, I feel like that's the part of my life that is suffering. I never seem to have time to kind of cook or just go for a walk, or I don't know, just do something completely different. Unwork related. Yeah.
Very good. That's a good answer. Thanks a lot for talking to me. It's very, very inspiring. It's amazing. I could listen 4 hours, but we have limited time over here.
I know,
But at the end, like, how can I follow you? I'm following you and Sync on Instagram already. Mm-hmm. Is that your main outlet, or do you have something else you want to give the listeners if somebody's more interested in your story and the whole creative, where IWC Journal is posting this out, the IWC Instagram accounts are featuring it, and the blog is going to be there. I know about this. So, but other than that, how can I get more information about you and your syndicate?
Honestly, Instagram is probably the best place to be right now, because Instagram is where I share everything that I do. I'm a bit of an oversharer in my life and in my career.
Me too.
Everything goes on there, and I really enjoy it. And like I said, Sync is just getting started, so you'll definitely see, like, behind the scenes and the members of the team and everyone who helped create this, which I also think is a really cool aspect. And on the IWC Journal, you'll see all the finished outputs, as well as on their online, on their blog, everything will be. But yeah, Instagram is definitely the best place to find us.
I'm going to keep following you and be inspired on Instagram, because it's great work what you do. And I want to come around and burn one day.
Yeah, I mean, if you're here so often, you should let me know. I'm here all the time.
Next time, I will be absolutely around.
Amazing. Cool.
Thank you.
You
have
so
a
much.
Great day.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. You too.